Blog Talk Radio.
In these days of tea parties and constitution rallies, we're all looking back to our founding fathers for a little bit of wisdom. Samuel Adams said, "It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting the brush fires of freedom in the hearts of men." This is the voice of an irate, tireless minority of one. We'll be talking about politics, religion, and doing what's right. And you can call me Mom.
You're lost, you don't know where you are, you're all alone. You're in the dark and you don't know where to find the light.
Episode of Irate Tireless Minority, and I apologize for being a bit late. I just got a phone call saying my brother is in the hospital, so if we could have some prayer for him, I'd appreciate that. Boy, I am just all discombobulated this last month, I guess. Last week's show was mistakenly shortened to 15 minutes because I wasn't paying attention. And this week's show is being a challenge as well. Did you know you can't save your description if your show has started while you're still working on it? Anyway, today I've called the show Deplorable Me, which I will edit right now, and it won't probably show up until I've already finished the show, but because Ms. Clinton has thrown a bunch of us, into her basket of deplorables. Half of Trump supporters fall into her basket of deplorables. And what are deplorables? Well, deplorables are those who don't go along with the leftist agenda, basically. That's not what she said, of course. What she said was, let's see if we can find that article here, because I'm just having a day. People who are racist, sexist, homophobic, or xenophobic. Now, for those of you who don't know what xenophobic is, it means fear of outsiders. So basically, you're against all immigration because you don't want people different than you. You know what? There is a reasonable justification for being xenophobic to an extent. Because, as I have talked about on this show before, when your neighbor is not the same as you politically or culturally, then that creates fear, and it's a reasonable fear because you don't have any idea what they will do in a given situation, whereas somebody who shares your values, ethics, morals, and culture, you're pretty sure that you know what they're going to do. You know, if you say, "Oh, my mother died last night," you know that they're probably, and they share your Judeo-Christian ethic, they're going to share a moment of sorrow with you and be sympathetic. Another culture might say, "Woohoo, good for you, no mom to tell you what to do anymore." I don't know what culture that would be. I'm just making that up. But the principle is that if somebody comes and starts picking on me in my yard, I want a neighbor who looks out the window and says, "Hey, that's wrong. You leave her alone." Not a neighbor who says, "Oh, good, the infidel is being persecuted. Praise Allah." And That's an absolutely good reason to be a little bit scared of somebody who's different than you. Because different means you don't know what they'll do. As for racist, sexist, homophobic, those are all your pipe dreams, Ms. Hillary Clinton. Because she's just going on, piling on to the same thing that Mr. Obama said during his 2008 campaign. And it's not surprising that they get bitter. They cling to their guns or religion or antipathy to people who aren't like them or anti-immigrant sentiment or anti-trade sentiment as a way to explain their frustrations. Really, are upset because we see what's happening. We see what you're doing. Hillary Clinton said you can put half of Trump supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables. She's not talking about Trump supporters, folks. She's talking about anybody who disagrees with her and her leftist agenda and Obama's leftist agenda to fundamentally transform this nation into a communistic nation. After strong, and she also said that some of these people were irredeemable. Irredeemable means they can't be changed. You're right. I am one of those people, and I can't be changed. I am not afraid of people who are homosexuals. I am afraid for them because it's a horrendously, horrendously unhealthy choice. And as a Christian, I am afraid for them because I know that at some point they're going to have to face God, who has said that that's an abominable behavior. That doesn't make me a bad person. That makes me a person who's realistic. Sexist. Oh, guess what? I believe that men are in general stronger than women. And you know what? That's because that's the truth. It doesn't make me deplorable to believe the truth. I believe that women generally enjoy raising children. Yes, it's frustrating and maddening and all that stuff, but it is so rewarding. It is the best thing you can do with your life. It's the point of life. To raise a child to go on into the future and affect the world. My gosh, that's the adventure, folks. If you don't have that, you're missing it. So, after strong pushback, and thank you for pushing back, people, Hillary Clinton partially walked back her remarks with a backhanded apology that still slaps you across the face, saying she'd been grossly generalistic and that's never a good idea. You know what she's doing? She's saying that she's doing the Alinskyite thing. She's marginalizing people. She's putting out there in the public thought process that those who don't agree with every little deplorable bit of the leftist agenda are irredeemable and must be the corollary that she doesn't say, that Mr. Obama never says, must be removed in order for America to be great. Make America great again, says Trump. But Hillary says, we will. America is great if only we can get rid of those irredeemable deplorables. Article by Cale Thomas on Fox News Opinion says, this is the contempt in which it seems the left holds traditional Americans. Anything they say no to is to be labeled racist, sexist, misogynist, xenophobic, and nativist. To the left, anyone who doesn't share modern ideas is to be condemned, even called un-American and deplorable. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. He says, Clinton's remarks remind me of what Washington Post writer Michael Weisskopf wrote about evangelical Christians in the early 90s. Weisskopf said they were mostly poor, uneducated, and easy to command. Clearly, this man has never studied the Bible. Because let me tell you, if you are truly, truly studying that book, you are not uneducated or easy to command, and you're certainly not poor, at least not in a spiritual sense. That produced a torrent of critical letters and phone calls to the newspaper, prompting Ombudsman Joanne Bird to explain the reasoning behind Weisskopf's statement was that most journalists don't know any of these people. Evangelical Christians. Most journalists don't know any. Well, what's wrong with you, evangelical Christians? Get out there and meet some journalists. Get out there and evangelize them. Because they need to be having the love of Christ in their lives too, don't they? And clearly, not having evangelized them has left them in a place where they are behaving very, very badly, and they are racking up sins before God. Don't allow to shape the narrative. Get out there and evangelize them. That's your job. Oh, let's see. Name-calling on both sides prevents us from hearing what solutions to America's manifold domestic and foreign challenges the candidates propose. Then he goes on to talk about the 1800 presidential race between Jefferson and Adams, which was kind of nasty, and they said bad things about each other. But come on, people. Come on. Really? It's xenophobic to say don't bring the followers, any more of the followers of Islam into this country? Oh, if you're a Muslim, I feel sorry for you, first of all, because you are not believing in the one true God, Jesus Christ. Okay? You're not. People tell you you are, but you're not. And if you haven't studied your own doctrine, then you'd better get down to it, because you're being deceived by an entity that calls itself the greatest of all deceivers, right? Prides itself in being the greatest of all deceivers. Why wouldn't that entity deceive you if its goal is to destroy mankind? That's exactly what that entity would do. And for those of you who know your doctrine, then you know what I'm saying is true, and that you are an enemy of the United States of America. You are required to be an enemy of the United States of America, and you're required to lie to anybody who asks you about it, which means that you are not trustworthy by a logical, reasonable person who is not a Muslim. You are not trustworthy. That is the logical consequence of being someone who's required to lie to others in order to take over their nation. I don't understand why politicians and journalists can't see or comprehend this tiny little bit of obvious logic. It doesn't mean that I hate people, but it does mean that I get to say, okay, this is where you are, and the logical consequence of your choice to be a Muslim means that I have a duty not to believe you and to remove you from my nation, where you are required to do harm and not good. That's not xenophobia, that's logic. The mind absolutely boggles. It boggles at all this stuff. And Ms. Clinton, I prayed for her last night. I prayed for her that she be brought to the knowledge, to the saving knowledge of Christ. She has quoted Bible passages. She has seen the Bible. But by her actions, she is no Christian. And I know I'm not supposed to judge other people's Christianity, but by her actions, she is no Christian. And she went on to call people deplorable. Deplorables. Put you in a basket of deplorables. So now I am not just a racist, sexist, homophobic, Islamophobic, bigoted, barbarian hobbit. I have to add a deplorable to that as well. Because I'm allowed to have these attitudes by the Constitution, which is dead. You know, so I can say that I'm allowed to have these attitudes by the Constitution, but the Constitution is dead. It was killed by the Supreme Court, and the death was confirmed by FBI Director Comey. Okay? Killed. I don't know what we have, but what it looks very much to me like what we have, what we're going into, is a communist dictatorship. Oh, wait, communist doesn't have dictators? Yes. Yes, because there's no such thing as a dictatorship. There's always people behind the throne, moving people around. And as for moving people around, who in their right mind sees their mother collapsing and takes her to an apartment to recover? Unless they know what's wrong and they know how to treat it already. And they know that it doesn't require an emergency room visit. Y'all saw that video. I know you have. The woman collapsed. They dragged her into that vehicle. She left a shoe behind, and they had to go get it. And they took her to her daughter's apartment to lie down for a few minutes. This is a woman running for the highest office of the United States of America, and you don't take her to a hospital when she collapses like that? The only logical explanation for that is that they know what's going on with her health, that this is not an isolated incident, and that they know what treatment she needs. There are some excellent theories being promoted. There are a couple videos out there by a fellow who has detailed the likeness to Parkinson's disease of Ms. Clinton's health oddities. Go have a look at those. But, good golly, no responsible Secret Service agent would not get that woman to a hospital if he didn't know what was going on with her health, right? If that was your mother and the Secret Service brought her to your apartment after she collapsed like that and you had no idea why she collapsed, you would say, "What are you doing? Take her to a hospital. Get her treatment." No, there's something more going on. And I think, as I've postulated earlier, that they're going to switch her out. And I think we're going to have Mr. Biden foisted on us. And, you know, if she cooperates with being switched out, then she's able to step down with her health problems, and Mr. Obama will graciously pardon all her crimes because she's a sick woman who has served this nation for years honorably. I don't think she served honorably at all, but he will say that to present the picture he wants people to see. And Mr. Biden, even though he's not brown-skinned or a woman, will heroically come out of his grief over his son. And I feel sorry for him. Losing a child, oh my gosh, tears the heart open. But he is going to heroically come out of his grieving for his son to serve his country. That's how it's going to play. You know, maybe I'm wrong. We're getting awfully close. I don't know. What is the last day that one can go into that, one can get into the DNC and change the candidate for president? How soon do they have to do that to have the ballots be correct in the states? Because the states need time to print those things. There must be a deadline. It's coming. It's coming, folks. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived, because this is outrageous. Outrageous. I have included, or I will have included, once the show is over, I hope, in the show description, a link to it's bestofbeck.com. And while I generally don't care for Mr. Beck because he is a Mormon and fools himself into thinking he's a Christian, even though Mormons deny the deity of Christ, like Jehovah's Witnesses do, he has Saul Alinsky's 12 Rules for Radicals. Rule 1, power is not only what you have, but what the enemy thinks you have. Power is derived from two main sources, money and people. Apparently people think Hillary Clinton is doing well in the polls and has a bunch of supporters. And I've seen a bunch of stupid videos by women saying, oh, I'm voting for her because she's a woman. What are you, an idiot? I apologize. But voting for somebody because they're a woman or because they're black, isn't that the very definition of sexist and racist? It is. But you look at her rallies, she does not have people. But it's not what you have, but what the enemy thinks you have. Rule number 2, never go outside the expertise of your people because it makes them confused and fearful. Rule 3, wherever possible, go outside the expertise of the enemy because it makes them insecure and anxious. Make the enemy live up to its own book of rules. That's easy with Christians because nobody can live up to the Bible. We do our best. But we're going to fail. That's why we need to be redeemed by Christ, because we can't live up to it. The law is a schoolmaster to bring you to Christ. But that doesn't mean you give up and roll over. Rule 5, ridicule is man's most potent weapon. There's no defense. It's irrational. It's infuriating. It works to create a key pressure point to force the enemy into concessions.
Oh, you're part of Hillary's basket of deplorables, aren't you? I don't have to take you seriously.
Right? A good tactic is one your people enjoy. They'll keep doing it without urging and come back to do more. They're doing their thing and will even suggest better ones. Riots, anybody? Who doesn't love a good riot where you can smash things, blow things up, and possibly steal things for yourself? Who doesn't enjoy that? People with decency. Decent people don't enjoy that. I'm telling you, rioters, you learn some history. You look up the Night of the Long Knives. When you are no longer serving their agenda, they will crush you like, want to see some racist action there, it'll be. Get smart. Rule 7, a tactic that drags on too long becomes a drag. Don't become old news. Rule 8, keep the pressure on. Never let up. Keep trying new things to keep the opposition off balance. Rule 9, the threat is usually more terrifying than the thing itself. I have used this one with children. I have said, do not make me become imaginative. And they generally do not. I have used this with people. I have used this with horses. When I was a trail guide, I would tell people, take a stick. They said, oh, I don't want to hit the horse with a stick. Oh, no, that's horrible and cruel. I said, you don't need to if you have the stick. If you have the stick, the horse knows you have the stick, and they're not going to do things that'll make you use it. And this is true. But for those people who are so tender-hearted, I would just take the stick along with me, wait until their horse stopped and they could not get it to move in the middle of a specific spot in the trail, because that's what they did if you didn't have a stick. And then I would go and I would give them a stick and their horse would move. They didn't have to use the stick. They just had to have it. The threat is more terrifying than the thing itself. You make them fulfill their threats. That's how you counter that. And then they will look like the bad guy. Rule 10, if you push a negative hard enough, it'll push through and become a positive. Oh, but those poor rioters, they're suffering from systemic racism. Y'all got to check your white privilege before you can condemn them. No, decent people do not, two wrongs do not make a right. If you feel like you're suffering from systemic racism, then you bring your game up, you get into politics, and you serve your community by erasing that systemic racism through your good actions. then you become the best people on earth to show that you don't deserve to be treated with racism. You don't go out and riot and loot and destroy other people's property that doesn't do you one darn bit of good except to make you enemies in your community. Rule 11, the price of a successful attack is a constructive alternative. Never let the enemy score points because you're caught without a solution to the problem, which means that's the never let a crisis go to waste thing. That's if there's a crisis, say, well, see, if we've done things this way, or we need to do things this way to push your incremental steps to your agenda fulfillment. That's what that is. Rule 12, pick a target, freeze it, personalize it, and polarize it. Cut off the support network and isolate the target from sympathy. Go after people and not institutions. People hurt faster than institutions. This is cruel but very effective. Direct, personalized criticism and ridicule works. They're in a basket of deplorables. And then she proceeds to call those deplorables names, to ridicule them, to polarize them, to make them upset so they're not thinking, so that they might do something stupid, so that she can be justified in having called them names. That's what that is. If you haven't heard these rules before, then what are you waiting for? Get off your duff and start studying the left and their tactics, because they will kill you. Do you understand that? Every time communism, socialism has been tried in history, it has resulted in murder by government of millions of people. Millions of people. Every single time. And that's where America is headed. I have had my 90-second warning, so I'm going to say we are all an irate, tireless minority of one. We can all make a difference, and we're all supposed to. You find your spot. You get out there. You make a difference. Bring your game up, America, because you can't afford to go into communism. We can't have to have Ms. Clinton or Mr. Biden. Oh, God forbid Mr. Biden. For all of you who call him Joe the buffoon or whatever, he only plays the buffoon. You look up his history. He is a sharp cookie, and he is dangerous as all get out. We can't afford that. We have lost America, and we need to fight now to regain her. We've lost. The rule of law is dead, and the rule of law is America. Get out and fight while it's not a violent fight. Get out and fight while it's still ideology and culture. Bring your game up and fight, America. Bring her back. Y'all have a great week.